In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And chapter 9, verses 5 to 7, page 694. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank
you. 100 years after the end of World War I, we're saying thank you. We're saying thank you to God for the people who sacrificed their lives for us. During World War I, between 1914 and 1918, a lot of people were killed. A lot of people were injured, and that was for us. And so it's really right that we say thank you. And today we're also saying thank you to God for peace. In 1919, a peace treaty was signed to mark the end of World War I, signed June 1919. But here's a question just to think about for a moment. What does the word peace actually mean? What does the word peace actually mean? If you look in a dictionary, the word peace means the absence of war, no more fighting. And that's a good definition of peace. If you look in the Bible, the word peace also means the absence of war, no more fighting. In Isaiah chapter 2, which Heidi read for us, Isaiah speaks about peace. And he says, in the last days, nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. One day there will be no more fighting. Swords and spears will be turned into garden tools. Weapons will be turned into spades and forks and rakes. In Isaiah chapter 9, which Heidi also read for us, Isaiah speaks about peace. He says, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment, Mark's RAF uniform, will be destined for burning. Every army boot, every Royal Air Force garments will be just fuel for the fire. They won't be needed anymore. One day there will be no more fighting. If you look in the Bible, the word peace means the absence of war, no more fighting. But if you look in the Bible, the word peace actually means a lot more than that. In the Bible, peace isn't just about the absence of something, it's about the presence of something. Yes, conflict is gone, but completeness has come. Completeness has come. And that's what I want to very briefly talk about this morning. Now, I will try and engage these children. So, children, in my bag, I've got this is a wall. Can you see my wall? It's not a very good wall, actually. This is a very bad wall. There are a number of bricks here, a lot of bricks here, but the wall is broken. This wall here is not complete. Sorry, adults, if you can't see it, it's a pile of bricks. Okay, it's not a complete wall. It's not a good wall. But here is another wall. And this wall is a very good wall. I made it all by myself. There are a lot of bricks here, and this wall is complete. There are no bricks missing. There are no holes or gaps in this wall. Every brick is in just the right place. And in the Bible, the word peace means complete. A bit like my second wall. That wall is complete. There are no bricks missing. There are no holes or gaps. Every brick is in just the right place. And people are a bit like brick walls. We're made of lots of different parts. We have bodies that think and feel. We have families, parents, husbands, wives, children. We have jobs at home, at school, at work. We have friends, people in our class or people in our community. And the Bible says we have a creator. We're creatures made by God. And so people are made up of lots of different parts. We're a bit like brick walls. But people are a bit like my first brick wall. There are bricks missing. There are holes or gaps. And every brick isn't in just the right place. Some people have broken bodies because of injury or illness. Some people have broken families because of divorce or death. Some people have broken friendships at school, at work, at home, at church even. We're a bit like brick walls. And some of us here this morning will be feeling broken. But Isaiah felt broken too. And God gave Isaiah a promise that one day a child would be born. One day a son would be given and he would be a king. And he would fix broken people. In Isaiah chapter 9, this is what Heidi read for us. This is what God says. God says he will be called this child, this son, this king. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then a long time after God gave Isaiah that promise, over 700 years later, a child was born. A son was given. A king. His name was Jesus. On the day he was born, the angels sang about peace. And they said, there will now be peace on earth. And then when Jesus lived, he fixed broken people. So have a look at the screen. Next slide. So here's somebody who's broken. Can anybody on the benches here tell me, what do you think is wrong with that man? What part of him could be broken? Any guesses? No guesses? I'll tell you. Go on, Chloe, what do you think is wrong with him? You're absolutely right. He can't walk. His legs are broken. Yeah, his legs don't work. But Jesus fixed his legs. He just told this man to get up and he got up. Next slide. There he is. Okay, next slide. Here's another person who's broken. What do you think could be broken about these two people? Any guesses? What do you think, Jacob? Their eyesight, exactly. Well done. Yes, their eyes don't work, but that's okay because when Jesus lived, he fixed them. He touched their eyes and they could see. Well, here's another person. This one's actually the hardest, I think, of my pictures. The woman at the front. Maybe some of the adults, you might know this story if you've read your Bible before. What was wrong with this woman? Any adults? She was bleeding, yes. And this woman had been bleeding for 12 years, longer than all of you guys on the benches have been alive. But she touched just the corner of the cloak that Jesus was wearing. And immediately she was well. The bleeding stopped. One more. This one's the easiest of my pictures. What's wrong with the girl, do you think, on the bed? She's dead. But Jesus said to her, little girl, get up. And she got up. There she is. Jesus fixed broken people. But did you know Jesus fixes more than just broken bodies? The Bible says our relationship, and we've touched on this already, with our Creator has been broken. And before Jesus came, people like us were enemies with God. It was like we were at war with Him, fighting against Him. But Jesus came, and He came to die on the cross, and now people like us can be friends with God. And anyone who believes in Jesus, anyone who believes in Jesus has peace with God. That relationship with our Creator has been fixed. There is forgiveness forever. So in the Bible, the word peace means complete. And this completeness, this peace, is found in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. But you might be sat here this morning thinking to yourself, okay, but I believe in Jesus and my body hasn't been fixed. My family hasn't been fixed. My job hasn't been fixed. And so when will I have this peace? That's a very good question. And the answer the Bible gives is now and not yet. Now and not yet. Now Christians work for peace. God is creating a new community called the church, and people in the church have a bond of peace. Because our relationship with the Creator has been fixed, we want fixed relationships with each other. That means being completely humble and gentle. That means being patient. That means bearing with one another in love. We work for peace in the church now. But we also work for peace outside of the church now. The Bible says to Christians, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. So we work for peace now. But we also wait for peace in the future. If we're a bit like brick walls, for the Christian, the most important bricks have been put in just the right place. Our relationship with God has been fixed. There's forgiveness forever. But there will still be other bricks missing. There will still be holes and gaps. And some of us here this morning will feel broken. Of course, we do all we can now for peace. But we will also need to wait for peace. Perfect peace comes in the future. When Jesus comes again, that's when He will wipe every tear from our eyes. When Jesus comes again, that's when there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. That's when God will take His new community and take them to a new creation. And there will be perfect peace. So as we finish, let me ask a couple of questions. Firstly, if you're a Christian here this morning, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And so if you're a child of God, are you making peace? Are you making peace here in the present, inside the church and outside the church? If you're a child of God, are you making peace? Are you working for peace? Are you waiting for peace, looking forward to the day, longing for the day when Jesus will come back and there will be perfect peace? Secondly, if you're not a Christian here this morning, we're really pleased that you've been able to join us. Thank you for coming to our remembrance service. And it's important that we've reflected on the sacrifice of many, the many, many people who fought for us in the past so that we can have peace now. But can I ask you this? Will you reflect on the sacrifice of one? The one man who fought for you in the past so that you can have peace now with God?